Sono Virginia Rossinelli dall'Italia e viaggio con Rick Steves.
I'm Virginia from Italy and that was Italian for I travel with Rick Steves.
Viaggio con Rick Steves.
Navigating the specialty food markets in Paris and a Sicilian lesson in respecting your pasta. That's coming up in just a bit on today's Travel with Rick Steves. Right now, we're taking your calls at 877-333-7425 for Fred Plotkin as we explore the sweets and treats you'll enjoy in Italy. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com. Paula's on the line in St. Simons Island, Georgia. Paula, thanks for your call.
Thank you. I have traveled in Sicily and in Italy, in southern Italy, and fell in love with the cannoli and the profiteroli for dessert. I'm into the sweets. I'm going to be in Puglia the last 2 weeks in May and wondering if there's a special sweet I ought to try there.
This may sound a bit uncommon, but I stand by my recommendation. There is a cheese there called burrata, which has arrived a little bit in America, but it does not work here. It has to be had fresh. It is a mozzarella with cream. It is sweet. It is sensationally delicious. And another thing I love in Puglia is fresh ricotta cheese served with a fruit preserve. Hmm. So in America, we probably would have jelly with cottage cheese, not nearly as good as this phenomenal thing. In Puglia, they have these fresh cheeses that really are the greatest desserts. Very good cookies and so on, too, and great bread baking, the best in Italy. But I love the cheeses of Puglia paired with fruit.
Fred, when you talk about cheeses for dessert, is that like what we'd think of as a cheese course, or is that cheese with other sweets?
There are regions that do cheese courses, especially Friuli Venezia Giulia, Veneto, Lombardy, and Piemonte. But in the rest of the country, you'd have one of these sweeter cheeses as a dessert.
Right.
It's not that they add sugar, but they're very sweet because they're young and fresh cheeses, burrata being the one that's just heaven on earth.
All right. Paula, good luck on your eating in Italy.
Thank you. I'm sure I will have no problem finding something delicious.
Buon appetito.
Thank you.
Our email's radio@ricksteves.com. And Bonnie in Parma, Italy, has emailed us, and Bonnie writes, in Parma, that's her hometown, I love the Magdalenas, which are perfect for breakfast pastries. Everywhere else I've had them, they're vanilla muffins with a pastry shell. But in Parma, they have a dollop of prune or cherry preserves between the cake and pastry layer, and they taste amazing. In Naples, the best thing I ate was a hot sfogliatella riccia. Divine. In Venice, it was the hot fritelli during Carnivale. If you happen to find yourself in Ascoli during the Christmas season, you got to try the frustingo, the most amazing chocolate fruitcake. Calling it a fruitcake, while factual, doesn't do it justice since most of us are prejudiced towards fruitcakes. This dessert should have its own classification. It's dense, chocolatey, and figgy at the same time, something like a cross between a brownie and a fig Newton. Fred, sorry for my pronunciation there, but we got Magdalenas, we got the sfogliatelle, the famous pastry in Naples, and we got the fritelli in Venice, and the frustino in Ascoli. Any comments on those?
On all, of course. Actually, a couple of letters missing from the dessert from Ascoli Piceno. It's called frustingolo marchigiano. It's a Christmas cake made with nuts, figs, honey, and candied fruit, and it is heaven. It's rather intense.
Ooh, say the name and what's in it again?
Frustingolo. Marchigiano, which means it's from the Marche. It's a Christmas cake, very important. This is an example of something that used to just be served at Christmas, but now is found throughout the year. Nuts, figs, honeys, and candied fruit.
Gotcha.
The fritelle, the fritters in Venice, are very good. They sort of land in your solar plexus, though, and don't go further.
Right.
Whereas in Parma...
Is that a nice way to say gut bomb, yeah?
Yes. The Magdalena, interesting, Parma was under France. So it's a cousin of the Madeleine from France.
Okay.
Except with the addition of jam, it's true.
All right.
And sfogliatelle in Naples are crunchy. They're filled either with almond paste or ricotta or plain. You make an incredible mess when you eat them, but it's worth it.
And those are in these venerable cafes that you'll invariably stumble
yes.
into when you go through old Naples. And it's sort of, they're proud of it. You have it with your coffee there, and it's a beautiful experience.
I recommend getting the mini sfogliatelle because they taste the same and you don't make this total mess all over your beautiful Italian clothing.
It is tough. All that basically powdered sugar, right?
Powdered sugar and crust that falls apart. Yeah.
Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Arthur's calling in from Bloomington, Indiana. Arthur, thanks for your call.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Fred. Just one thing that I've been wondering about is whether you can find anything close to what you're describing, all those good things, anything that you can find over here in the States. One thing that you wouldn't want to miss in Italy that you can find here, that'd be great.
A few of the packaged things come over. One of my very favorite desserts in Italy, it's one that people don't seem to know, is called torta sbrisolona, which means a crumbly cake. And it's made in Mantua. It's made of almonds, hazelnuts, butter, and flour, and that's it. And they're produced there and intended to be consumed with sweet wine. These are packaged. They can be found in the United States. I think it's called Zingerman's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, does mail order of them. Hmm. But if you can find a torta sbrisolona, they're wonderful. They're plain, but they're great.
Well, that just reminds me of the joy of biscotti and Vinsanto, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, by the way, another thing for the caller. The greatest book that I can recommend if you want to make them yourself is called The Italian Baker by Carol Field. Even Italians use her book to discover how to make their own recipes. It's that good.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks so much.
There you go, Arthur.
So make them at home.
Buon appetito.
Thank you.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We are drooling all across Italy here, talking about sweets with the man who wrote Italy for the Gourmet Traveler, Fred Plotkin. Fred, you mentioned the various granitas, the flavored shaved ice drinks. Rome has something that the locals love, the grattacheca. Is that right? Do you know about that?
Grattacheca is, you know, I live in New York City, and somehow when the Cubans and the Puerto Ricans do it, I like it more.
Yeah.
It's basically shaved ice with flavorings.
Yeah.
It's good in Rome, but there are better things in Rome than that. I like it.
It's just refreshing on the streets when it's really
it's
hot.
It's refreshing and nice, but I would eat that in New York.
Now, when you go farther south in the Amalfi area, people are crazy about their limoncello.
Not only limoncello, but torta di limone, everything made of lemon.
You stop by one of those, you can picture these stands on the Amalfi coast where they've got a little pullout, and then these farmers are there with countless different kinds of incredible lemon. They're just into lemon in that culture there.
They're huge. I mean, they're very healthful, and unlike most of the world, there are three lemon crops a year there, and therefore they're in constant supply. It's not seasonal. And they're incredibly fragrant, and they're used in perfume, in laundry soap, in everything. But real lemon, not fake lemon essence produced in a lab.
I met a farmer once, and he took me up into his orchard, and it was like an advertisement for the wonders of lemonade. He picked a lemon off of his tree, sliced it, squeezed it into a glass, put in some sugar and some ice, mixed it up, and drank it with a view of the Mediterranean.
What's not to love?
One of the beauties of Italy. Brad emailed us from Virginia, and Brad writes, "My absolute favorite, an almond cookie covered with panna cotta-flavored gelato, covered in whipped cream, flamed with a blowtorch to make a crust like creme brulee. Your mission as an eater? Find that cookie." Well, do you know what he's talking about there?
I've never heard of that. That's...
Sounds a bit over the top.
As the Italians say, ungepachke, it's a bit over the top.
Fortissimo.
Yeah.
Or no, issimo. Don't Italians say issimo?
Issimo, issimo.
If something is over the top.
One thing I want to mention, though, the city of Trieste, I think, is the best baking town in Italy. People don't know that, but in part because of the Austrian-Hungarian tradition there.
I was going to say, that's the one town with the Austrian-Hungarian...
True. The bakeries of Trieste, but it's not just the strudel and the Austrian stuff, but local... cakes called pinza, presnitz, putizza, gubana. These are all yeast cakes that have nuts and grappa and all kinds of things in them. Heaven. Ah, really fantastic.
That's near Treviso, isn't it?
Relatively near Treviso.
Is that where tiramisu comes from?
Tiramisu was invented in a restaurant in Treviso in the 1950s. It's not an ancient dish.
Yeah, you'd think it was one that goes way back, the way they present it to you, but it's just from this last generation.
Well, I go back to the 1950s.
Historic.
So I see it as contemporary. But basically, it's made of mascarpone cheese, chocolate powder, ladyfingers, and coffee. And the coffee and the chocolate is meant to pick you up. Tiramisu is what it means.
Pick you up. That's a
means
pick you
pick
up.
You up. Or
right.
Pick me up. Tiramisu. Tiramisu.
Have a pick me up. Oh, we say have a pick me up. We can just say have a tiramisu.
Sure.
Fred, let's finish it off with just, you're in a restaurant, you've had a great meal, you're friends with the waiter, you thought the dinner was done, And now more stuff starts coming out. There's sweets and there's drinks. How do you navigate through all of that? And what's your favorite way to really linger over a great meal and let it be the event of the evening rather than just dining and dashing?
In many parts of Italy, they produce dessert wines that are known as vino da meditazione, meditation wine.
I love that.
It sounds very zen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's found a bit all over the country, and it's you have to drink it slowly. You have no way around that. You take a sip, you meditate. Because it's Italy, they never rush you out of the restaurant, and therefore you can sit there and have a sip, maybe have a cookie. In Tuscany, I know they dip cookies into wine. Don't do that. Have your cookie on the side, have a sip of the wine, and just meditate. But then I always finish the meal with a coffee, espresso.
And I like it when the chef and the waiters, they've done their work, and you're still there, and it becomes much more relaxed, and everybody's just enjoying, dolce far niente, I guess, eh?
Yeah. Well, the idea is that you are their guest. Hospitality is a wonderful concept. We in America can talk all we want about service, but there's a difference between service and hospitality. In Italy, Americans might find the service a bit sloppy, a bit slow. It's not. It's hospitable. They want to make you feel welcome, and that is the beauty of eating in Italy. That plus no music on the restaurant speakers.
Right. And if you're there at midnight and you're still having a good time, and they're probably happy you're still there, and they'll sit down and join you.
Except in the north, where they say, ma scusi, si chiude finalmente.
One reason to be sure you go further south. I'm Rick Steves. Yes. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been eating our way through the sweets of Italy with our favorite Italian eater, Fred Plotkin, the author of Italy for the Gourmet Traveler. Fred, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rick.
Since Sicily is one of the places where Italy's food traditions live on the strongest, let's check in now with a Sicilian friend from Catania to hear firsthand how seriously they take their cuisine. Tour guide Alfio Di Mauro is one of the funniest Italians I know, and he joins us now with a very serious warning for visitors who haven't been raised with a proper respect for the staple of Sicilian life, pasta. Alfio, thanks for joining us.
Grazie per avermi invitato.
Give me a little education on proper approach to pasta in Italy.
Well, you know, when I think about pasta, the first thing that comes up to my mind it is spaghetti. You know, just spaghetti is the Italian shape, the classical shape of pasta. You know, there are rules about spaghetti. You know, spaghetti is something that if you grew up in Italy, you consider them part of the family almost.
The spaghetti.
Yeah, the spaghetti.
So when you were a little boy in Italy, you were growing up and spaghetti was your friend.
Exactly. So your mom, when you were little, always was teaching you how to proper, you know, address the spaghetti. As a kid, I was watching my mom preparing the spaghetti, and my mom never even thought of breaking the spaghetti before dipping them in the boiling water.
So you have an image. You can look at the pot on the stove.
Exactly.
With the water, and no breaking the spaghetti.
No breaking the spaghetti.
Okay.
Because, you know, spaghetti is almost a living thing. They have a soul. You don't want to damage them. So you dip them in the hot water. You wait a couple of seconds.
So these happy little friends are melting into the
exactly.
hot water.
Exactly. They're melting. Totally melting. In fact, scientifically, this is called glass consistency. You know, in the pasta, you can bend it without breaking it. So that is really the first rule. Then you never, of course, rinse the spaghetti when they're cooked. This is something that sometimes people do.
Some people do rinse the spaghetti,
exactly.
Don't they? So that's breaking the law.
Yeah, that's breaking the law.
From the good taste.
Exactly, because it washes away all of the good things. Once the spaghetti is in your plate...
Well, this is a big challenge for Americans, is how to eat the spaghetti properly.
Yes, yes. Once it is in the plate in front of you, often when you go to Italian-American restaurants, here, they serve the spaghetti with a spoon and a fork. In Italy, that doesn't happen because if you're Italian, they know that you know how to use the fork. So you don't
need
the spoon.
Need the spoon. The spoon
exactly.
is for people who do not know how to use the
exactly.
fork.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's why maybe, you know, Americans, they go to restaurants in Italy and they don't have any spoon because they are treating like locals.
Okay. So I've got a big plate of spaghetti. I've got my fork, but I don't have a spoon.
That's normal.
What do I do?
What do you do? The best thing you can do is you pick up a few spaghetti, okay? 2, 3, 4 at the most. And then you twist them on the side of the plate. And by the time you twisted them, you have the perfect size for a bite.
So you separate just 3 or 4 little
exactly.
friends of spaghetti.
Yes. Now, if you stick, the most common error I see is that tourists that sometimes they don't know how to do it, they stick the fork in the middle of the plate. And doing that, first of all, you're going to turn your white shirt in the Italian flag because you're spreading the sauce around and the basil leaves, maybe.
Red, white, and green.
And
that's
green.
Right, yeah.
And second, you're going to raise what I call an umbrella of spaghetti. And that is not really good. Actually, that is the
opposite. True. It's frustrating. You stick that fork in the middle, you've got yourself an umbrella.
Yeah, you have a huge bite. And that is, you know, considered really not cool at all. And if the Italian police, the Carabinieri, are passing nearby, they can be really upset for people, you know, with people that they don't know how to eat, and they can put you in jail. So for something like, it is serious stuff.
There's a big love for the spaghetti.
Yeah. Something that is a little bit worse than this is to break the spaghetti with a fork.
Oh, you don't break it?
You never break it.
You don't cut your spaghetti.
Spaghetti is always, you know, one entity. So you have to eat it without breaking it. You don't want smaller pieces, okay? So never use the fork to break the spaghetti. Just select a few of them, and that's a proper way to eat them, okay? Now, there's something worse than breaking the spaghetti with a fork, and that is using the knife.
Oh, so you don't, many people will cut the entire
exactly.
mass of spaghetti into 3 or 4 or 5 pieces.
No, that is really a no-no. Because if you use the knife, that means there was the intention to kill the poor spaghetti. It was not an accident that you...
Premeditated spaghetti murder.
Exactly. Now, if that is the case and the Carabinieri, the Italian police are around, they really get serious about that and they get your passport and they stamp it with a permanent record of SK, spaghetti killer. And then you cannot enter the country again. That stays in your record, you will never be allowed to enter the country again.
Thank you so much, Alfio De Moro, for a little bit of special skill for eating and enjoying spaghetti Italian style.
My pleasure.
Grazie.
Prego.
Buon appetito.
Buon appetito a te.
Viva spaghetti.
Sempre.
We'll escape the food police of Sicily next with a stroll around the neighborhoods of Paris with the co-author of a snappy little guidebook to the city's dozens of open-air and covered markets. It's in these markets where you find vendors selling the city's freshest produce, meats, cheeses, and seafood. But most of them are only open for a few hours on designated days, so we're getting a little help from an insider. We're at 877-333-7425, and we're packing a tote bag to Paris. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.